Amen, amen, amen. Happy Easter, happy Resurrection Day. We are celebrating a risen Lord. He's not in the tomb. He is alive. Amen. Amen. There are some guys walking around passing out these little flags for you, okay? This is for you. This isn't for your kids. This is going to be for the adults. And what you're going to do with these is you're going to take them and you're going to hold on to them until the very end of the message, okay? So don't lose them. Just don't put them away in your purse and keep them there. Hold on to them for just a moment because they will be used later on. And I'm glad that you're here on this morning to worship with us. I hope you are. Hope you're glad to be here. If you would, just look at your neighbor and say, glad you're here today. Now look at your other neighbor and make it sound like you really mean it. I'm glad you're here today. Glad you're here today. Amen. Well, let's stand for the honor of reading God's word. We're going to read out of Luke chapter 23, starting verse 13. We will be in Acts 3 for the message, but this is going to set us up. Luke chapter 23, starting with verse 13. It says, Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, and said to them, you brought me this man as one who is misleading the people, and after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. This is talking about Jesus. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him. But they all cried out together, away with this man, and release to us Barabbas, a man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder. Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus, but they kept shouting, crucify, crucify him. A third time he said to them, why, what evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him. But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked, but he delivered Jesus over to their will. Let us pray. Father, as we come and look at your word and we see, Lord, these very last moments of the days of our Lord and how the people cried out to crucify him, Father, and how they were surrendered to their will by Pilate. Father, how afraid I am that we are surrendered to our own wills many times and our desires opposite of your desire. And Lord, help us, forgive us. For when we fail to seek you, forgive us for when we fail to see who you are. And so today, Lord, as we look at your word and we look at this magnificent day that we celebrate, Lord, the resurrection of Jesus, I pray that our eyes will be open and our hearts will be open, our mind will believe and our heart receive the things you have for us today, God. Lord, we pray for a move. Those of us who know you, that we'd be drawn closer to you. Lord, if there's a man or a woman here today, they've never placed their faith and trust in you, that today would be the day that you would just bring life into their soul. So, Father, help me to preach plain and clear. I understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I do accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray and his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So they all wanted them to crucify Jesus. Give us Barabbas. What do we do with Jesus? Crucify him. And that's what they did. And so he was beaten. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. They beat him with a cat of nine tails. And as the prophecy of Isaiah would be foretold, and it would come to fulfillment, that his whole flesh of his back would have been ripped off. You'd have been able to count and see into his very rib cage. They placed a crown of thorns upon his head, mocking him that he was a king. They forced him to carry his own cross, and he stumbled at the weight of it, and Simon of Cyrene was forced to carry his cross all the way to Calvary. And there, as they laid down the wood, the tree, the cross, Jesus wasn't taken by force by the soldiers and thrown on the cross. No, he says, no one takes my life. I lay it down because I'm going to raise it up again. And he lays down his life, and they pierce him through his hands and his feet. And they nail him to the cross, and they hoist him up to where those who were there could mock him, ridicule him, spit upon him. If you're the Son of God, why don't you call down angels to rescue you? And there on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In your hands I commend my spirit, and it is finished. And he breathed his last breath. All hell rejoiced that day. The demons thought they had won. He had died, Jesus the Lord. They took his body off the cross. They placed his body in a tomb. Friday night, Saturday night, what's going on? The disciples are in despair. What's going to happen? We thought he was going to be the Messiah. And they're hiding out, wondering if what happened to their leader is going to happen to them. And so the ladies prepare the spices and go to anoint the body and prepare the body. And as they are going to the tomb early on Sunday morning, they see this man standing. It's an angel. And he says, why do you seek the living among the dead? For he is not here. He has risen. And that statement there has changed the world. He is not here. He is risen. Go tell them that he is alive. And they ran and they told the disciples. Of course, the disciples, they encountered Jesus. They see the risen Jesus. He is alive. He is not dead. He's no longer in the tomb. And Jesus says, go tell the story of salvation. Go tell the story of redemption. Go tell the gospel. Go tell the good news. And guess what? That's exactly what they did. They had to wait in Jerusalem until they received power from on high. And then when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter got up and on the day of Pentecost, he began to preach the first message to an open crowd. And he began declaring the good news of who God was. And 3,000 people that day came to know the Lord. And they continued to preach the gospel, to share the message. One day, Peter and John were going to the temple. It was about the hour of prayer, and there was a certain individual that was always taken to the gate called Beautiful, and he would be set there at the gate because he had been lame ever since he had been born. And every day, they would take him to the gate, and he would beg for alms. Well, this day, Peter and John, they're walking into the temple, and there's this man begging for alms, and he asks them for money. And Peter looks at the man, and he says, look at me. Fix your gaze upon me. He says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I will give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the guy gets up and he leaps and he begins to walk and he begins praising God, for he had just performed a miracle. Jesus had healed this man. And so he's shouting, he's praising. Now think about this. This is the guy that everyone knew as the guy that sat there begging for alms all the time. And he's walking now, not just walking, it's he's leaping into the temple praising God. Now that'll make you shout, won't it? You haven't been able to walk your whole life and you can now. And if you are one of those who have seen this guy sitting there begging his whole life, it makes you start to wonder, doesn't it? So what would you do if you saw this man walking into church that you never saw walk before, and he's leaping for great joy? Why, you'd wonder what's going on. And so a huge crowd starts coming around and gathering close to Peter and John. And they surround him, and this guy's real, he's standing real close to him. And Peter then declares in Acts chapter 3, verse 12, he says this, "And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, 'Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us, as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk?'" He uses this as an opportunity to share the good news. He says, "Why are you all looking at us like we did this? We didn't do it. We didn't do it. But we're going to tell you about the one who did." Aren't you glad about that? You see, as we close out this series in Choosing Our Own Adventure, today we're going to look at two options that we get to choose from today. We're going to look at how Jesus gives us saving, resurrection, healing power, and then the crowd always wants to crucify, right? The crowd wants to go against. And so the two choices that we're going to look at this morning is we're going to be able to repent, or we will reject. Repent or reject. And so Peter and John have a captive audience. Wouldn't you say that would be a captive audience? How in the world did this happen? And he says in verse 13, "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and the God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he decided to release him." He's going, "Here's what I'm going to tell you. The guy that you all murdered, you remember that guy that you all were saying, 'Crucify, crucify'? You remember the guy that you didn't want to live? It's by his power that this man was healed. The God of our father, the servant, or his son, Jesus. Jesus healed the man. Not Peter, not John. It was Jesus." And he says that here's what happened. Here's what you did. You all delivered him over. You all sold him out. Y'all turned him in. You had an opportunity to release Jesus, but instead, you wanted to release Barabbas. You delivered him over to Pilate. You denied him. You denied Jesus. Just several days before in the triumphal entry, they were all shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the highest. Here's our king." And then just a few moments later, they're saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." They denied him. What else did they do? Let's keep reading. Verse 14. "But you denied the holy and righteous one," Jesus. He is holy. He is righteous. "And you asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life." You killed the author, oops, of life. Now, how would you like to have that stacked up against you? You kill the author of life. Now, here's the good news. Whom what? Whom God raised from the dead. To these we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in whose name? In his name, the name of Jesus, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. He says, it's not me, it's not John, it's not any of us. It is Jesus who has the power to bring life back to someone or to heal someone. It's Jesus. It ain't us. Don't start following us. Don't start thinking we're great. It's Jesus who did it. "And now, brothers," he says, "I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled." He says, okay, here's the thing. It didn't take God by surprise. This was all planned. Jesus was going to the cross. And he says, what you did in ignorance, okay, there's going to be a way for grace. Aren't you glad that these, I mean, just think about how gracious and almighty God is. Okay? His Son that he sent, for God so loved the world, that he gave his what? Only begotten Son, or one and only Son, and whoever believes in him will not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Here's what they did. They delivered him over when they could have saved him. What had Jesus done? He'd went about preaching the kingdom of God. He'd went about healing. He met a lot of their needs. He had done a lot of great things. He wasn't a murderer. He wasn't somebody out there doing all kinds of ungodly things. No, what he did was he ticked the righteous people off. That's what he did. He claimed to be God, and they couldn't stand it. They rejected him. They denied him. And they killed him. But here's the thing. You cannot kill the author of life. Huh? You cannot kill the author of life. No matter how many times people try to put Jesus back in the tomb, he keeps getting out. Amen? Have you ever noticed that? The universities, professors, our scientists, our intellect. We all try to keep putting him back in the tomb, but he always comes out. He's alive. You cannot kill the author of life. And he says, you've acted in ignorance, but God knew this all along. And here's the good news. You ready? Verse 19, repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be what? Blotted out. He says, first off, repent. What does repent mean? Repent means to change one's mind or attitude. That you have to change your mind about something. So instead of denying him and killing him and rejecting him, you've got to accept him and praise him and acknowledge him, right? If you want to reject Jesus, guess what? You can. You don't have to believe in Jesus. You don't have to give your life to Jesus. You don't have to live for him, and you don't have to acknowledge him as Lord and Master. If you don't want to live for Christ, guess what? God will let you reject him. He will let you reject him. But if you want to know him, and you want to experience what it means to know the very author of life, he makes a way for you to come to know him. And he says, repent. Change your mind. Change your attitude. Well, I just don't believe Jesus could be the Savior of the world. You got to repent and change your mind. That he is who he said he is. That he is the Lord of all. That he died on the cross. That he did rise again. And that he's coming back. You believe that he is the risen Lord. Repent. Change your mind. Change your attitude. Some of you say this, well, God could never save me. Yes, he can. You got to change your attitude, change your mind. You got to repent. Yeah, but you don't know what all I've done. Well, let me ask you, have you killed him? Denied him? You know, they did some pretty bad stuff too, and Peter is offering them a chance to get back on track. No matter what you've done, no matter how much you have denied him by the way you've lived, guess what? He allows you to get back on the right path. How? Repent, change your mind. And then he says, turn back to God. Turn back. Repent. So not only is repenting, changing your mind and attitude, turning back to God is an action that you do, that you go, that you're living one way and turning and going to live another way. So instead of living your life for yourself, you're living it for him. You turn back, you run to God. And in one translation, it's even flee to God. Repent and flee to God. You see, in the Old Testament, there was a cities of refuge. A sanctuary city, basically, is what it was. It was for men who had actually accidentally killed someone. They didn't intentionally kill someone, but they did. And so what they allowed them to do, they allowed them to flee to a city of refuge so that they could still live, and they would live out their sentence there. And what Peter is saying is, I know you've acted in ignorance. You may not have realized what you were doing when you handed Jesus over, but you're still guilty. You're guilty of killing Jesus. He says you killed the author of life. Though you may have done it ignorantly and you didn't know what you were doing, you're still guilty. So what he's saying is flee now to Jesus. Flee to him. He is your refuge. He is your safe place. He is the place where you go to find grace, mercy, and forgiveness. And so what is Peter saying to them that he's saying to us also? If you don't know Jesus and you've not been living for him, and you've not acknowledged him, repent, change your mind, change your attitude, and flee to the cross of where Jesus paid for your sins. Turn to him. He is the author of life. He'll give you life. Repent, therefore, and turn again that your sins may be blotted out. Not only are your sins going to be blotted out, but times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Man, you'll have your, if you repent, you'll have your sins blotted out. Sins are gone. Refreshing times come. This world gets weary, doesn't it? You get beat down. You get depressed. You get disappointed. You have heartaches and pain and misery, and you try to fill it with many different things. And so a lot of times the world offers some ways to get some refreshing. So you may go do their thing for a while. And you go live in the world and you kind of experiment and do all the things that you think your flesh is desiring that's going to fill it. And what usually happens? You find out that what? That didn't satisfy. And you're empty. And you have no peace. You have no purpose. And you're just running on empty. You're just running on fumes. And it seems like your life, you're just barely getting by, barely getting by, barely getting by. And there's no hope. There's no joy. He says, if you'll come to Jesus and repent and turn again, not only are you going to have your sins forgiven, man, but you're going to have times of refreshing. You're going to be revived and renewed. And you're going to have hope. And you're going to have joy, and you're going to have mercy, and you're going to have grace. And he will send the Christ that's appointed for you. He'll allow the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of you, and you will be set free, and you will be saved and redeemed. Now, this was all given to people who had been guilty of helping to crucify the Lord. And so we ask ourselves this morning, well, that's good for them, but what about us? What about me? Now here's the thing, here's what a lot of times we do. We'll try to evaluate our life to different people, and we'll say, I don't know if I'm that bad. Like, I mean, those guys are pretty bad. I've never killed Jesus. So he's going to bring out a cross for us, okay? I'm going to set it right here. Because I want us to understand some things this morning. It's because the question is, who actually killed Jesus? Who actually killed Jesus? Because clear they did. They were in the crowd saying, crucify him. But in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, it says this, talking about Jesus, who was delivered up for our what? Trespasses. And raised for our justification. He was delivered up for whose trespasses? Ours. Who's our? Us, all of us, me and you. You see, Jesus died so that we might be forgiven and set free. He died. So guess what? We're up here over on this side. The Bible tells us that all of us have rejected Jesus. Guess what? I grew up in church and I rejected Jesus. I went a long time until I actually said, Lord, I get it. You are who you said you are. Some of you this morning, you need to repent because you've been rejecting Jesus. And our sin took him to the cross. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, he himself, this is talking about Jesus, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. You catch that? He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. It's talking about what? The cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, it says, you've been healed. So who killed Jesus? We did. Our sin. It says, for you were straying like sheep, but now have what? Returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. Why? So your sins can be blotted out. Times of refreshing can come, and the Christ can be sent to you. Let me read one more verse, and we'll be closing up here in a minute. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. You ready? And you, talking about us and us, we were dead in our trespasses and the uncircumcision of our flesh, but God made alive together with him, having forgiven us of what? All our trespasses. That's all of our sins. How did he do that? Look at verse 14. By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. You've been given some flags. And we're going to have some red Sharpies up here. And it's time to surrender. It's time to repent. The white flag is a universal sign of surrender. And the reason why many of us never come to Jesus, especially us men, is our self. Pride. Ego. Because we don't like to admit that we can't do it. Wow. By God, if there's a heaven, I'm going to get there on my own. And that's how we think. But I'm telling you, the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. Not one. There is one that is righteous. His name was Jesus. And he took our sin and he nailed it to the cross. He bore my sin so I don't have to bear it anymore. Why do I want to hold on to dead things? Why do I seek the living among the dead? There is no life in dead things. It's time to surrender this morning. It's time to raise the white flag. It's time to say, I'm going to nail it. Jesus, you nailed it to the cross. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a time of invitation, and there's red Sharpies up here, going to be up here. They're going to be up here in a minute. And if you want to take your white flag and you want to write down a burden or something that's got a bondage on you, and you want to come up here and just nail it to the cross, come do that. If you want to just take your white flag and you don't want to write anything down, you don't want to, you can just come and you can lay it at the cross. You can just lay it down. If you want to just lay them down, you can lay them down. If you want to stick it in that cross, you can stick it in that cross. But today, guess what? We're going to surrender some stuff. Don't keep holding on to things that's not going to bring life. You can repent today and be renewed, or you can reject and be stubborn and walk out the same way that you came in here. I'm telling you, God wants to do something in your life this morning. And I'm going to stand over here close to this side here. If you say, Grant, I need to know Jesus, I need to have a relationship with Jesus, I'll come over here and we'll talk over there, okay? All right, let's pray. Father, Lord, today we celebrate the fact that you got up out of the tomb, that you rose from the grave, and that you are alive today. And Lord, there are many people here this morning that know you, and there's many that don't know you. And today they get an opportunity to repent and turn again, turn to you, and receive life in a time of refreshing, to have hope, life eternal. Lord, whatever is holding them back from simply following you, Lord, would you bring it to their attention right now? Even for the believer who may not be living the victorious life that they're supposed to be living, what is that? What's that sin? What's that attitude? What's that? What is it that's getting in the way of them living in a time of refreshing? Speak to our hearts. May we move. May we obey. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's respond. And let's come. Let's pray. Let's move.